Now, this is the project that every one of us will have to embark upon. We want, after we leave this conference, want to set some measurable prayer goals that will ensure that we do not have a better prayer yesterday. Prayer goals. Measurable. That's where to start from. And we are talking about intentional prayer, deliberate prayer. Not a prayer that you get into because you are stirred by God. Measurable prayer goals. Now you know what, amen, the prayer minister of the church, according to that study, is under the heading what? The kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. I'm talking about the kind of prayer you pray and you allow God give you the prayer point. It's not about you, it's about a sovereign will. That's what I'm talking about. That you are going to be doing that deliberately. I'm not saying stop your petition. I'm not saying stop praying for house rent, but your request for house rent is not part of the work called the prayer ministry of the church. I'm not saying that stop attacking the witchcraft in your village, but that one is not part of the prayer ministry of the church, and we will have to deliberately come into that ministry by setting measurable goals that will ensure that we don't have a better prayer yesterday. Hallelujah. So that's the project. You may be seated. Ushers, let the offering basket go around. Now we are going to take some questions. We have a full house of intercessors. We need to draw from the wealth of grace that is present here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. So, questions. You can write it down. Now we'll take a few more. Ushers, with emphasis from the outside, if you have a question, you write it down. While the offering baskets go round, please cast a seat so that we can take care of administrative issues. For instance, if we need AC, that means we need to secure diesel. You know, that one is practical. The marketplace, governed by the forces of demand and supply, not intercession. So you see. Hallelujah. Questions? Meanwhile, what she taught today is practical Christianity. The one we used to do in the 80s. Those ones in the 80s. In the 80s, your heart, you keep your heart right. Somebody offends you. Issues of the heart were emphasized. Alignment in the heart was an emphasis. In fact, there were several times ministers were advised not to use the pulpit if they have family issues. Ministers were advised to leave the pulpit. Today, prayer sessions have been substituted for strategy sessions in Lagos. Strategy. Hallelujah. Yes, so let the questions come in. We have a wealth of intercessors. God has placed it in my heart to start a prayer group on my street and to hold a revival crusade. But I'm inexperienced. What do I do? Evangelist, for you to make this front seat, you should have something for the body of Christ. Don't just come and sit on the front seat. Yeah. Now give a concise answer. Matthew Henry has two commentaries. One is concise. So it's a concise answer. Concise. Go straight to the point. Draw from your own experience. Not scripture. Talk about your life. Don't quote. Concise.
Amen.
Amen.
Say, God has placed it upon my heart to start a prayer group on my street and to hold a revival crusade that I am inexperienced. Just, you need somebody that is experienced in this area to assist you. Need a vibrant evangelist that can help you.
Vibrant.
And can teach you the process, because that same street, there are demons on it.
So, the question has been answered.
There are demons upon the street. So if you are inexperienced,
You need training.
Thank
they
you.
Are locomotive. They are stationary and mobile demons. So someone must show you the body in the way of the evangelist.
Yes, somebody must show you the way.
All right. We cannot overemphasize the need for mentorship in the body of Christ. It takes so many years for God to raise a man of God. And you heard his story. He spoke about 25 years back. So just in case you saw him yesterday and it was as if he was knowing everything. More than 25 years of suffering. Process to raise a man like this. You need backup. There are some trainings you cannot get in the Bible school. By the time you go to Naka and hold a crusade and you come back, you sleep, you wake up. If you sleep and you wake, is your name is in the book of life. So you need an evangelist to tell you how that terrain is. If you take off like a tornado, you will crash land. Please, sir, what are the indices to measure a man's alignment to God? Where is it? Give up. Alignment. How can we measure a man's alignment to God? Indices. Concise answers. Conscience answer.
Well, number one is depending on what you call alignment, what God has instructed you. The first thing you need to do is to discover the purpose.
Oh God, don't preach you.
No, I'm not preaching.
Conscience.
What
use
you do,
your life as an example.
What you do is to discover the purpose. Because when God gives you the reveal to you the purpose, there are one or two things he must tell you how to fulfill the purpose. So the first thing to do is discover the purpose. Because without discovery, there won't be alignment. Discover the purpose. Then you can align.
Secondly, the most fundamental basis of alignment is the heart alignment. Heart. Now, our guest, when she was lecturing, spoke about the battles we have to face before God in answering the contradictions and the quarrels that we have with him in order for us to be aligned properly to enter into the ministry of intercession. Now, so heart alignment is the most basic form of alignment. Then instructional alignment is what he spoke about. Even if you know the instruction and your heart is not aligned, the instruction is not in view without heart alignment. Every part of your life, you should be able to bring God into it. And just in case you cannot be watching pornography and say, Holy Spirit, come and help us with this thing I want to watch. Anything you can pray about and bring God into, it means it's not your life. It's a distraction. And you can actually avoid it. And if you have become addicted to it, it means there's a spirit that supervises it. And you will need to invoke the power to break the hold of that spirit on your soul. Heart alignment is basic. Instructional alignment is critical. Because it's possible for you to leave the instruction that God has given you. Like in Lagos, we do ministry window shopping. Go to Prophet's Church, you see the way it's running. Pick one or two things. Then you rebrand. That is not ministry, that is a branch of Harvard Business School. May the Lord give you understanding. Can everyone be an intercessor, or is it a calling for a few? And how can you recover from a lean soul?
Hallelujah. Intercessory means basically praying, and every born again child of God is supposed to pray. Hallelujah. But when we're talking about it as a ministry, depends on levels too. Sometimes you may be called as intercessor over your church, over a land, or over a nation. Those ones can be callings, but everybody is basically supposed to be an intercessor. I hope that answers the question. And how can you recover from a lean soul? The first place is where to get nourishment from the presence of God is to go seek the face of the Lord and ask Him to restore back to you where you lost it from. Because if you check the points that show that you are a lean soul, you lose your God sense of judgment, you lose your ability and agility. The thing that will make you, for me, if I become lean at any point in time, what helps me to recover is prayer and fasting. I'll just go into prayer and fasting, studying the word of God, and then over a period of time, I'll come back again. For some other persons, it may be meditation, it may be being prayed with, maybe continuous study. So you discover the things that give you strength back. Because in your walk with the Lord, over time, you discover. But if you have not walked with the Lord for some time, I just advise that you go into a time of prayer and fasting and studying the word. You get back into alignment. Praise the Lord.
We all have the ministry of intercession. As long as you are a believer in Christ Jesus, He said that the model is that my house shall be called. Our corporate outlook is intercession. That means before you start doing media work, you must be an intercessor first. Before you become a prophet, your basic default mode is what? And in the case of intercession, when you become consistent, when you become faithful, God will now give it to you as a mandate. That means He gives more authority to you in the use of that ministry. Sometimes He can give you a specific mandate to a city, a church. It is only people that have been faithful in using that ministry that He gives such a mandate. And as you walk in that mandate, your sphere of influence within the scope of that mandate begins to enlarge. Are you with me? So we are all intercessors. But the ones that have received intercessory mandates are the ones that are faithful among us. And they happen to be very few. You see her talking about manning the gates of her city. She began as a believer, passionate, wanted to be responsible, wanted to do something that will satisfy the heart of God. She had gone beyond herself. She has even gone beyond ministering to people. She wants to minister to God. Do that which God wants here. In fact, ministry should come from that standpoint. We minister to people based on our ministering to the Lord. Are you with me? Not kingdom ministry. But there are a lot of people who minister on ground level. They are not in alignment with God. They don't care what God feels about the ministry. It's just service. Okay. And you can tell that kind of a ministry is actually a ministry set up to plunder the people and to marginalize their destiny. Because it doesn't draw its strength from the kingdom. You cannot come into the full benefit of what Jesus paid for and prayed for if you are not operating as a commodity that is altogether defined within the context of the kingdom. It is when God gives you an intercessory mandate that you have authority. If He gives you an intercessory mandate over Otukpo, you can sit in your bedroom and say, okay, I'm seeing these young ministers that are rising. What they are preaching is wrong. Lord, I shut their mouth. And what you are saying will be valid. Because you have the authority through mandate that you have gained by faithfulness. In the body of Christ, we don't have intercessors again. Even though we have a banner called Intercessors for Nigeria, intercession doesn't take place anymore. And so the few intercessors that are in the business are overburdened. And that's why the grace upon them is unusual. They are running the burdens that 10 people, 20 people, 45 people in a local government should be carrying. One man is carrying it. That's what we call the remnant factor. The few that are doing the work of the many. And then when you want to come and you castigate that person, God will strike you because he is holding a local government by himself. One man. His constituency is as large as a local government. His constituency is as large as a state. So God will have to protect him, because this one has a history with God. Hallelujah. It's not a gift. It's a ministry that the body of Christ has abandoned. I have received a ministry from God, and in attempt to pursue the ministry, he instructed me to submit it to a man of God for 2 years. We have even raised a structure there, but I don't know how to let him know about it. So what do I do? When you submitted the ministry to him, didn't you say you are submitting it for 2 years? I think you have a problem. You have a problem. When we buy land, we write agreement, because the landlord can change his mind. So you did not say, okay, this is what God instructed, I should submit it for 2 years. Meanwhile, I'm not sure. Baba said you should submit it for 2 years. I'm not sure. But we can't help you about what you say God say. Go and hear again. The prophet said you have hearing problem, and you need to go back and check. Hear again. Explain more about deliberately going on with prolonged fast without breaking.
Praise the Lord. For me, if it's a long fast like that, it's the Holy Spirit that actually powers and engineers it. I'm not able to break. I'll just find myself going on. I believe you have such experiences sometimes too. Just find your going on in prayer, pressing until, you know, the Lord lifts the burden off you. For those kind of fasts, it's difficult. In fact, I discover food is not a factor at those times. Praise the Lord. So the issue of even breaking at all. But then, when the issue of breaking comes in, is when the issue of leanness comes in between. Anything can happen. Like I told you, I was on a 2-week fast, and then the issue of unforgiveness came in, became lean in the soul, and I had to break because the burden lifted. Praise the Lord. I hope that...
You know, this personality called man, it's a being that God operates. Huh? It's just like a vehicle, you drive it. God drives this vehicle. It's a being he created as a vehicle that he will drive to showcase his capacity. Are you with me? You are not with me. There are times that God will switch on the fasting mode. I'm not saying you desired God and you wanted to fast. No. What she is talking about is God has switched on fasting mode. I've been on fasting mode for 1 year. And the easiest thing for me to do that year was to fast. And it was difficult for me not to fast. And when I violated the power that switched me on, and I went and took coke and took cake, I began to purge. So I had to continue the fast purging, because I was on what? Fasting mode. The vehicle owner put the car on fasting mode. And there are sometimes he will park the vehicle from fasting mode. And then during those times, because I'm used to fasting, I have an issue. I want to go and inquire. I can still take it. But that one is hard. The one you take by yourself, you may struggle a little. But if you are on fasting mode, it's cruise. Allow him operate you. This cruise. Even this preaching we preach, you can preach without the ability of preaching. But when you enter into that ability, it's cruise. I don't study the dictionary, but if I enter preaching mode, Allah Morocco. It's a cruise. You must know when God is operating you. And meanwhile, he will not operate you except you have been a faithful intercessor. Your intercessory life is an indication that, okay, I submit for operation. As an intercessor, when a burden is on you and pressure is, well, this one, we have to. The words there are not even in the modern dictionaries. It's difficult to draw a meaning from. In my locality, I belong to an intercessory group, and I do feel I'm in most these two. You need a gift of the Spirit to know what is being said here. If you have a dream or a vision concerning your ministry or where you worship, who should you share it with? Finally, yes. Yes, who should it be shared with?
If you have a dream about your ministry.
Yeah, about the ministry you are worshiping.
Who will you share it with? You share it with your spiritual father?
Yes, the one that pioneered the ministry. Wow. Because somebody sent me a text. And that text was not from God. Right? And the person was talking spiritual in the text. So you may think it's a vision. But when you submit it, just like most of you came and say you saw this sister, when we shook the thing, we saw that you like this. The correct thing would have been
you like.
I like this. So yeah, you can add muscle to that. Add muscle.
So you first submit it to your spiritual father, who will probe it and look into it and give you counsel in that light. Very important. If you share it with people who are not spiritual, or those who are your contemporaries that feel they can begin to compete with you, they kill it.
Now the text message, I don't even know the person, so I am saying it without knowing the person. If the person is here, the person can learn. So according to the text message, the person said that this ministry is supposed to be bigger than what it is now. And there are some spirits that have been fighting and all of that. And that the Englishman says to be forewarned is before armed. It's that other statement he made that nullified everything. Meanwhile, the young man doesn't know, or young, I don't know if he's young man. My emphasis is not crowd. It has not been crowd. It has never been crowd. For people that have followed, it's not crowd. It is capacity building and development. Is fine-tuning and alignment. And I am aware by the name of the ministry. Eh? Okay, let me stop there. So the person was totally out of range. Completely. And he claimed to have a revelation from God. Never been crowned. I know what to do to get crowned. We were taught that one in Bible school. But you know what? When we now started ministry, all the things God instructed that we should do was not what we were taught. In fact, somebody called me and said, you have failed. You have failed because of this, failed because of this. And the points were cogent, but you see, it was a human being that is saying that one, and I don't know that person. But God, that I know, said something else. It's not crap. We don't print handbills for our meeting. Is that the ideology of somebody that wants crap? Okay, if more crowd comes more than this, where will we put them? So if he thinks I'm a crowd freak, and then he says, all right, you know, there are some demons that are playing. Then I should call him and say, oh, I want to repent. repent for the kingdom of heaven. Meanwhile, it shall come to pass that the crowd will come. But it will not come because we are looking for the crowd. It will come because we have gained an identity in the spirit. So when people come, they will become obedient to the faith. When you have a crowd of scorpions and a crowd of pythons and vipers, your blood pressure, you need to be carrying doctor around to be checking your blood pressure. There's never been crowd. It's a man that dance to the beat of a different drummer and pledge their allegiance to a different flag. People that have decided to not to bow down to the spirit of the age, to stand erect when others are bent over. Does that look like crowd? I wasn't, when we even went to Lagos, I didn't expect that we'll have people. There was no promise of any kind. It was just that you will find God, the Creator. The teachings we brought to Lagos did not assure anybody of a breakthrough. It was the dynamics of how to find God. Is that the kind of message you will preach if you want crowd? Oh my, you don't know, I know. Ah! Oh. Ah. I was delivered from it. We were, hey. You, no, not you, not, you never know that aspect. What we were delivered from is what the guy was preaching to me about. That's what we were trained to be. We're trained to be success and motivational preachers. We're trained to be post. You have no idea. I became like this in the wilderness. This is not my training. And that training is for crowd. But as I walked with God, I met him. And he insisted. For about 5 years of my life, God kept correcting me. I said, wait, this thing is too hard. Is it everything that is wrong? But that was the training for customs. And so the person doesn't, you know, when somebody prophesies into your calling, you know your calling. He speaks into your calling. And one of the people that have done it more in this life is this man. People prophesy a lot, too. They don't see me. That's how I know this one. God gave him. He gave him my own issue. That's why we are related. It's the prophetic side of what I'm doing. So if I'm about to err, these are the kind of people God will send to me. These are the kind of people God will send to me. See them. God will send them. All these people cannot be wrong at once. I'm not a crowd freak. It's not ministry now, it's not crowd. Our father's house have been bastardized. We are trying to gather that house again so that we can form a quorum within territories to begin to invoke his majesty. It's not about crowds, it's not about fame. It's not about the reason why you find apostle in my name is I'm one. It's not a title. For us, it's not a title. That is what we are. Are you with me? Meanwhile, my ordination day, I was to be ordained a reverend. It was my father and the Lord that say, you will go by the title of your office. It was his exclusive decision. And he happens to be one of the last accurate preachers in the old generation. Yes, so I was ordained an apostle. So, because somebody might look at me and say, see this boy. They are correct. But where we do business in the market of ancients. It's not crowd. Don't go for crowd. The few disciples God has given you, make them what you are. And allow the Lord to add unto his church. To bring the increase. The increase is God's business. It has nothing to do with your smartness. It's God's business. Just be doing your thing. Don't forget it's God's business. You can do ministry for 21 years and you are under 200. That is numerically. Do God's business. A day will come, you will stand on an altar. An altar. And what you have been doing in the bush, you will just do it, maybe half of it. Not, you are not in your full shape. That is what will announce you to the nations of the world. Well, we are not patient enough. It's not crowd. Jesus did not set out to gather a crowd. He wanted to disciple a people. The messages he preached were not palatable for people to follow him. No. But eventually, the crowd came. But he didn't have to change his message because a crowd came. He was already set in his ways. And that's why on the day of Pentecost, how many thousand people joined the church? 3,000 people joined 120. And the 3,000 people did not change the constitution of the 120 people. Now, if the work you are doing now and 3,000 people just join, hey! Don't you think that we can affect the pulpit? Change what you preach. Change. It's because you don't have root enough. You were doing it for crowd. So when the crowd came, you had to adjust to accommodate them. We are talking about people that do it for God. And when the crowd comes, they'll have to adjust to accommodate God. That's the way of the prophet. His loyalty is first to God. Now, there's something high that has risen today. Something high. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. Please don't go. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Don't go for the crowd. Some of you attend churches because there's a crowd. There's a physical crowd. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, we'll break camp now so that people can eat and all of that. Then we'll start again by 4 o'clock. Okay? 4 o'clock. Now, you see, the meeting has shifted. I need to announce that. The meeting has shifted. And as we move from now, there is a heritage that is in God that we are expected to lay hold on. There is a heritage. We reach out for a heritage in God. Crowd will come. Yes, crowd will come. In the next few years, your auditorium is small. There's going to be an exodus. There's going to be some churches will not have members. These are things I have seen. They will not have members. So when you structure yourself to be responsible in the kingdom of God in the days to come, but make sure you have a constitution. Make sure you are constituted after a particular form. That the crowd cannot change. The crowd will have to become obedient to the faith. The Lord said, we are not leaders of today. He said, you will be leaders of tomorrow. Say, labor today. Don't even labor. It's in the heart of your labor that you'll be taught the lessons of leadership. The ministry that God wants to present to the world that will come from Nigeria, they are not known yet. Because our scope is Africa and Europe. The SU revival, the potency, the momentum of that revival took what was happening here to Africa and Europe. But it was corrupted before it got to Africa and Europe. Because I've been around. Every nation we went to, our brothers have gone there. And what they preached was not the gospel of the kingdom. And so God has not revoked that his decree. He's still saying Nigeria will provide the missionary manpower that will affect Africa and Europe. He's still saying it. When an immortal makes a demand, if he's not satisfied, he will keep saying it until a generation will rise that will fulfill his heart desire. Now, listen, we were trained though to preach all kinds of things, but he decided to regulate our preaching, regulate our ministry. In fact, we were confined to a lifestyle that we never thought at this age. Who live like this. That means there's no Bible school you go to that can train you for the rigor of the journey. We just met it on the road that there were demons too. There were all kinds of stuff. And nobody will teach you to live holy because you know that your lifespan depends on it. So you line up even if you did not intend to. And many things will happen because you just lined up. Don't need to stand up. If you are comfortable sitting where you are. Lord, that generation has come. You waited long. Glory to your patience. Grant that we will not fail you again. That your voice will rise from our territory. That your name will be known through the vessels here present. And even such that are unavoidably absent in their different corners that have gained alignment with your spirit. They have formed a functionary line through which your kingdom will be extended. We ask that you show us mercy. Show us mercy. Show us mercy. Let it be that the least among us will become as strong as David.
Let it be that the house of Israel will be as strong as God. Father, look upon our infirmities and release your strength. Let prophets come out of Nigeria. Let the plan of the devil fail. Let there be a revival and awakening, a stirring that will undo the covenants of darkness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Look upon us with mercy. For a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. Of tomorrow. In this day we labor, but in the days to come we lead. Lead the nations to the cross. Lead the nations so we are to the fountain of living waters. Your weaknesses, let my weaknesses be swallowed up in the grace of God. Because a day will come where we will wield the strength of the Most High.
Continue this procession is because we are pressed for time. If not, there's a vehicle. There's a vehicle. Our prayers had already begun to summon angels. Summon things from heaven. You will not go empty handed. I say you will not go empty handed. Listen to me. A new day rises in the landscape of Nigeria. The marabouts, the satanic intercessors, may not be aware that there is something rising. Rising. A fire is rising. It's rising. Nothing will escape that fire. Nothing will escape. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Sorry, we can't continue. We'll meet again by 4 p.m. Eat, find some time to rest. I know it's so stressful getting back to your hostel, coming back. So stressful. That's why we did a camp where all of us will stay in one place. For 5 days, for 6 days. God, you see, God has been telling me that we have been wasting. Yeah, a lot of resources we waste. He's complained that our services are not long enough. That there are some kinds of glory, I mean physical light, will appear. I know you don't believe it, but don't worry. Physical light will appear. Everybody will see it with their eyes. Physical light. That's the ministry of signs and wonders. You know, Jesus did more than healing miracles. He turned water to wine. So that means Jesus can take a book, tear it, and join it back. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, those days are coming back. Those days are coming back. They are strange days, but they are coming back. Where you see people's leg will grow out. The one that they have put. Now, even if you are an unbeliever and you come for the meeting and you see what happens, you will know that God is alive and well. Where we are worshiping like this, and somebody suspends in the service. Because our services are too short. That's why we need to build the camp. Where we worship like this, then you begin to see gold pouring from heaven. Physical gold, not spiritual. On your body. If God helps us, probably, maybe one of these days, before this meeting finishes, he will help us. I'm trusting him. You will see gold on your body, gold. Angels will now come and stamp their feet, and diamond will fall out of it. You won't come and say God doesn't exist. No. It will leave a mark on you. So that when you are 80 and you call your grandchild and say, I saw him. As you are saying it, it will be entering inside. So we'll break camp for now because we cannot afford not to. For now. But like when you began to minister yesterday, it just started. But we had to stop. But the time will come where we will move from one level in the procession to another and see the end. At least for 1 week we can afford that. See you again by 4 o'clock.